We think that he's training and developing us, causing us to mature so that we can produce what we preach and teach. I thank you for the anointing that's upon his life, his family. I thank you for establishing the school and for all of the instructors that are connected to him. We operate as one man. Now, Holy Spirit, calls us in this class to impart the things that are necessary for us to function in true apostolic revival. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this class is catching the waves of revival once again. Amen. So very quickly, we're going to do some, you know, real quick rehearsing some of the points I went over so we can go farther. Amen. All right. What's the first one?
Christians who learn.
Say Christians who learn.
From a revival history.
From revival history.
Will be compelled.
They will be compelled.
To repeat it.
Christians who learn from revival history, they will be compelled to repeat it. Once again, what does that mean? That's Romans 15 and 4. You know, those things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. If you read about it, if you saw God deliver somebody yesterday, you know he's doing it today, and he'll do it forevermore. See, our hope is in God, what he has done. It's a supernatural hope. When God spoke concerning Abraham, he said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken? So we have to understand if we're going to participate in true revival, we must learn from the past. Y'all have heard this all the time. History repeats itself. And that works in both paradigms. You know, it could be for good cause or it could be for bad cause. You follow what I'm saying? Because history is like a cycle. Follow what I'm saying? If you don't learn, all right, let me give you an example. Bell bottoms. All right, now, there you go. You're in the skinny suits. Come on, you know, people act, you know, no. This all ain't new. You know, just go back to the 50s and the 60s. You see some of that. We act like 2017. This ain't nothing new. This is just something that went around in a cycle. Bow ties. Come on, talk to me. I'm just trying to show you how it go. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. So we got to learn from history. The next thing I want to mention, we're talking about catching the waves of revival. What does that mean? That means that you have to learn to add. We have to learn to keep on adding to. You know, oftentimes, just like learning the word of God, principles, you don't forget the principle. You don't leave the principle. You build upon the principle. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's the next one?
We cannot boldly go.
We cannot boldly go.
Where no man has gone
before.
Unless we first know.
Unless we first know.
Where
we really are. Now, what we call that? The law of what? Location. You don't know where you're going until you first find out where you are. Now watch this. That's what mess up a lot of ministers, because they think ministry is what? Preaching. Y'all ready what ministry is? Y'all want to know the true meaning of ministry? Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to. I didn't come to minister. You understand? I didn't come to be ministered to. I came to minister. What does that mean? I came to serve. So in ministry, your first calling is service. Service to who? The man and the woman of God that God has placed in your life. You need to be an asset and not a liability. You understand? We don't need to be making roll call or figure out where you at. You know, there was a difference between when I went to kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school. Then when I got to college, it was a whole nother level. You want to know why? Because you can pay your money. They don't care if you're in class. You understand? What are you saying? You heard what Apostle said in the last class. In catching the waves of revival, we're teaching you responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Accountability.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Availability. So if I want to get something out of college, I had to apply myself. I couldn't worry about my friend who didn't want to show up because he partied all night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand? I wasn't trying to be Lionel Richie. I had something to do. I had goals to accomplish. So I couldn't be out all night long and come in and finish the course. Amen. That's why we have career students. We don't ever want to be learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Y'all with me? So the law of location is you got to know where you are. You follow what I'm saying? So you can get to where you got to go. All right. That's the first law of reading the map. You got to know where you are. All right. Read the next point.
The closest biblical word
to revival is revive or reviving.
From the Hebrew word.
It is from the Hebrew word
chaya.
A primitive root. It's a primitive root
meaning
to live. Come on, read.
This word
is also
translated
in Strong's
to nourish up.
To preserve alive.
To quicken.
To restore.
To save alive.
And to make whole. Y'all got that?
Yes.
Okay, keep on. Go to the next bullet.
The first four times. This word is translated.
The first four times chaya is translated.
Revived. In the King James Version.
It deals with four.
Increasing levels of death.
D-E-A-T-H. Okay, go ahead, read.
In Genesis 45, 27.
Now, we went over this. Y'all remember Genesis 45, 27? We talked about how Joseph sent the wagons to get his father. In Genesis 45, 27, his father had lost all hope. He thought his favorite child was gone. There was a famine in the land. Isn't that something? How God worked that out? Huh? Huh? They went to get corn to eat and found out Joseph still was alive. Come on, talk to me. So when Joseph's father saw those wagons coming to get him, he knew that his favorite son was alive. You understand? See, how many of you know you can have hope? We talked about this last week. Hope, any unfulfilled hope in your life turns into what? Disappointment. That's why God is the God of who have already done it. All right. Y'all want me to translate that for you? Huh? Y'all want me to translate that for you? You'll never have to worry about being disappointed in God. Whatever he promised, he's also able to perform. As a matter of fact, the performance of what God promised is when he said it. Are you with me? See, we have to understand God calleth those things which be not as though they have already happened. That's why he was able to change Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. From Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, father of many nations. So every time Abraham would go around and say, "Hi, my name is Abraham," he was saying, "I am the father of many nations." He was saying that even when he had no child. God designed it to be that way. That's why when we start thinking about speaking in terms of this supernatural hope, we speak as though God has already done it, not as though he's going to do it. It will make a difference. Look, come hell, high water, sometime it may look like you're going through a shame period. It may not look like you're going to come out on the right side. The doctors might not have the right prognosis and diagnosis, but you don't have to listen to them. You have a sure truth when you stand on the word. Are you listening?
Yes,
okay, read the next one.
Revival starts from
that small hopeful conviction
that one day
we will see
the glory
and power. See, that's what this is all about. This is not about none of us. My greatest desire is to see God's glory.
And see,
I was in the hospital today dealing with a situation. All right. And saw some other people in there I knew. You know, I don't go to pray for people. I'm not sent to pray for people. Maybe you are. But if you catch the waves of revival, you will see this apostolic training we're in going to make you, your whole paradigm is going to change. Jesus never sent the 12 to pray. He sent them to heal. It's a whole nother mentality. So you have, but you also have to train people how to receive. See, because you could declare, but they need to know. You know, all it takes to receive, all it takes to receive is to do what Mary did. Be it done unto me, according to what God had said. That's all they need to know. They don't need to understand it. Just say what she said. Remember, Mary didn't understand how she was going to supernaturally be impregnated with the Christ child. She said, I don't know. I don't even know a man. They say, you don't need none. You got the Holy Ghost. You understand? We're going to find out that true revival comes in power. See, power, not talk, power. All right. One of the characteristics of revival, we said, it's preceded by fasting and prayer. Right?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, he came up out of the water, and there was this announcement from the Father saying, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, right? In whom I'm what? Well pleased, right? Then the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him and remained upon him. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner to Jesus Christ, said he didn't know who he was. But the one who sent him to baptize with the baptism of repentance said, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descend and remain, that's the Son of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, the Bible says immediately after that happened, Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Luke's gospel say being tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Now, why is that important? Because in training, it don't happen on the last day. I don't believe Satan showed up after 40 days. I believe the whole time he was messing with him. I believe he would come, go for a season, come back. Why does Jesus say the tempter, he going to leave you for a season, but he coming back? Huh? Because he learned that when he was out there, them 40 days being trained by the Holy Spirit. Then he comes with his strongest attack when you're at your weakest moment. But if you're trained properly through fasting and prayer, which is going to release great revival, you follow what I'm saying? Which is going to release what? Great revival, because what's going to happen? Power is going to show up. After those 40 days and 40 nights, you read in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Well, how did he return in the power of spirit? He was being trained by the best trainer, the Holy Ghost. He gave himself, set that food aside, didn't eat, and was giving himself to prayer and fasting. You follow what I'm saying? Flesh descending, spirit ascending. Now, y'all, we're in the midst of a revival right now. Because one of the characteristics as we, let's keep on reading because y'all know I go. But one of the characteristics of true catching the waves is it takes one consecrated, separated, anointed vessel for God to get in, who he sets apart, who he raises up, who he empowers, to bring things back to God's original plan. I submit to you, we don't have to look for it. We have it in our midst. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This fasting and a multimillionaire teaching us about fasting and praying when he can have filet mignon every day. Huh? Y'all not talking to me. Turning over a plate, not eating. When I can eat anything I want, I can have a chef to fix me breakfast, lunch, brunch, snacks, and dinner. Then on top of that, now, if you've been around a while, you can see when revival. Look at what has transformed in his life. Look at a multimillionaire. Look at what has happened in his body. Look at the sons who are following what he's doing. See, baby, if you're going to follow, you got to follow all the way. You can't come up. See, I believe, when I'm talking about revival, waves of revival, this eating healthy and eating right is for us to live longer and stronger, because God need us down here to keep carrying out the mission. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we can't do that if we eating wrong. So that's why I say all you can't pick and choose what you're going to eat from apostle. If you're going to sit on apostle's table, you got to take it. Oh, Jesus. Come on. All right. Let's go. I got a lot too much to go. Read.
Revival breaks forth.
Revival breaks forth.
From a hope. That does not disappoint.
Did you hear that? Revival breaks forth from a hope that cannot disappoint. Can I talk to you, huh? The doctor say you're going to die. But God sends a man and says, no, you shall not die. You're going to live. Now, that won't mean nothing if it's a parakeet or an echo. That must come from a voice. And the only reason you would say that to somebody is you got to first have God tell it to you. You just can't go repeating it like it's, you know, because somebody said it. This is a knowing. Read the next one.
In Judges 15:19,
it reveals that Samson
thirst was quenched by the water
that came out from
a supernatural source
which caused his strength
to return.
And he was revived. Now, well, you know, I don't know if we went through all the story last week, but Samson took the jawbone of ass and whipped 1,000 folk. After he beat him, because the spirit of the Lord came upon him, after he beat him, he said, oh, Lord, I'm about to die of thirst out here. I done brought this great victory amongst the Philistines. Now I'm going to die from a thirst. Now watch what they say. God provided for him supernaturally. See, revivals are birthed out of the supernatural. See, when Jesus came on the scene and returned in the power of the spirit, the Bible says his fame went throughout the whole region. What made his fame go throughout the whole region? When people saw the miracles which he performed on the people. When a leper came, he was cleansed. A blind man's eyes was opened. Now, y'all better hear where we're going. This apostolic training we're up under is bringing us back to the days. There ain't going to be no, you know, you're going to come up to get something and you walk away like you came in. The Bible says when they came to Jesus, he healed them all. We must quit making excuses for why people are not being healed. It's not them, it's us. Because when this apostolic power shows up in this present revival that we're in, you will see people literally come from around the country and bring people and lay them at the apostles' feet. When Peter, I'm talking about true apostolic revival. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was empowered with the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had, they would talk about Peter walking in the street and the people would pass so that his shadow. See, remember, revivals will come with what? Power. Could you imagine that? The shadow of Peter passing over him. The devil had to go. That's where we're headed. That's why we're here. We're being trained. I don't want to talk about the power. I'm a carrier of the power. I have more power than you know of. Apostle is teaching us how to release what we already got. You got to catch this. Some things got to be caught. They can't be taught. All right, go ahead, read.
Revival starts as
an unquenchable thirst
that only a supernatural source
can satisfy. Look at me. Nothing else can satisfy the hunger pains that the church is going through but a supernatural God who has supernatural power and abilities to deliver. People are crying out for deliverance. This change of power from President Barack Obama to President Trump. It's all about people searching. Even though the man did a great job. But even if you do a great job, we still going to find a way to criticize. But here's the thing. People still want more. And they're crying out for a better life. A better way. That's just the reality. You listening? But you find that hope is in God. The government out there cannot do it. It's the government up in here that could do it. See, our government makes sure all the children. No, y'all didn't hear what I said. Our government makes sure all the children are adequately over and above taken care of. And they don't have to focus on holding and coveting. Money cometh.
is apostolic and prophetic, and it is a revival of money in the body of Christ. It's not about need and greed. It's about the advancement of the kingdom, money with a divine purpose and mission. Are y'all with me? So we're talking about revival comes from a supernatural source. So that means we function from the supernatural. That's why sometimes it look like you ever look like you ain't gonna make it. I see some of y'all fake people. There you go. Now y'all want fake. Now you want fake. You ever felt like you wasn't gonna make it? You ever felt like you wasn't gonna make it? You ever felt like you was boys to men? Now that you've come to the end of the road, come on, talk to me up in here. You ever felt like you've reached the end of the road? That's all right. You can say what you want. I'm just trying to show you how it go. God used everybody differently. Those songs mean something. They have a pop to it. When you feel like you've done everything you know to do and nothing is happening, you just want to throw in the towel. Who against hope believed in hope? That's supernatural. You have to hear something from God that takes you out of the natural hope into a supernatural hope. You see, that's why all those words apostle was talking about faith, grace, promise. And then you got to go in the hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And hoped is not a future tense designation, if some would have you to believe. Faith is not the substance of things I'm hoping for. That's not what the Bible says. If I'm hoping for it, it's future tense. Faith is in the now. And the reason that faith is in the now, because it's based on hoped. Hoped is a past tense designation saying somebody made a promise to you already. So the Bible say when God made promise to Abraham. See, so your faith is rooted in a promise that was already made to you. So faith is the substance of what was promised to you. What do you mean, Reverend? When you give a young lady an engagement ring, that's a promise to marry her. You don't give her a promise after you're married. You give her a promise to declare the end from the beginning. The ring is only a token to show you I'm serious about this. So don't let them give you no. Don't let them give you no chip. You don't need a chip. A chip might not mean too much commitment. That might be a potato chip. All right, let's go on, because, you know, y'all got to understand where I'm coming from here. When God makes a promise, it's a past tense designation. You have no right to have hope if a promise is not made. Y'all understand that? So faith connects to what was promised. And the substance of that promise is what God said. God said, I don't have nothing else. I got a word. If I don't have nothing else, I have a word. See, God is not a man that he should lie. That's the most distinguishing characteristic about God. I'm not a liar. If I told it to you, if it doesn't come to pass, I cease to be me. See, that's why it talks about whenever God makes a promise, it's already performed. God said, no word of mine goes out and comes back to me empty or void of its power, but it accomplishes that which I please. That's why I had my man to speak it. Okay, read.
Revival is the coming on.
Revival is the coming on.
Of a new freshness. From the supernatural provision.
Of God. Look at me. Money cometh. Now, y'all don't. Now, let me tell you why I just said that. Say money cometh.
Money cometh.
Online, say money cometh.
Money.
Yeah, y'all can say it too.
Money cometh.
Now, I just wanted. I didn't want them to get bored out there. Now, watch what I'm about to say. Why did I have you to do that? Because it takes you out of the job realm.
Yes, sir.
Money cometh is supernatural.
Yes, sir.
Money cometh is supernatural. God said, I gave you some words that'll work for you.
Come on. Yes, sir.
You worried about working 8 hours, you can work money cometh all day.
Come on. Yes, sir, I believe that. Yes, sir.
Every time the apostle said, every time you declare money coming, all the money in all the world is standing at attention. It's the secret to the wealth transfer. You understand? See, I'm talking about a revival. See, I'm not talking about regular money here. A revival is supernatural. And I'm in on a wave. I don't see waves mean I'm connecting all of them. I ain't trying to ride one. I'm connecting every one. Every one. Every time God go to another one, let's go out. Come on, read. Let's go.
In 1 Kings 17:22.
All right. Y'all know 1 Kings 17:22 is when Elijah restored this young man back to life. All right. This y'all know the story about when he commanded that lady to take care of him, huh? The widow lady, huh? To take care of him. Say supernaturally.
Supernaturally.
They ate. Huh? They ate for 3 years and 6 months from a handful of meal and a little cruse of oil. Isn't that something? Supernatural source. And the way God builds your strength is, I told you, he didn't, when God commanded Elijah to go to that widow woman of Zarephath, she ain't had nothing to sustain him. All she had was a seed. She was about to eat her seed and die. But it was supernatural in that if you do with the seed what God tells you to do with the seed, then the seed will produce the results. So God say, I commanded her to take care of you. But even when God command you, you have to cooperate with the command. When the prophet showed up and asked about that cake, she said, that's all I have. I'm about to bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Yes, but in order to turn it supernaturally, she had to release it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when she released it, he said, now you do what God say, and that barrel of meal will never run out. That little cruse of oil will never run out until this famine is over. So what did she do? She did what the prophet commanded her. She bought him the cake first. God didn't fill up the barrel. He made her understand the principle. Take care of the prophet first, and you will always have. The church ain't learned that lesson yet. But watch this. But after all of that happened, her son died. Isn't that something? And the same supernatural God, Elijah, laid upon the child 3 times. Numbers have something to do in the Bible. Why 3 times? Why 3 times? God trying to show you on the 3rd day, something got to get up. Y'all ready for this? You want to catch the waves of revival? Quit delaying everything. In 3 days, when you sow a seed, they need to get up. Come on.
Revival starts.
Revival starts. Revival starts in response
to our voice.
Revival starts to our voice of prayer and fasting. I'm about to tell you about the voice now. About to tell you about the voice of prayer and fasting. The voice of prayer and fasting is when you had this done. That's okay. I'm gonna go over here, y'all. I see y'all missing. I felt the quiet spirit. It was like E.F. Hutton. It went shoop. No, I say the voice of prayer and fasting is when thou had this done. See, when after you prayed and done the will of God, after you have fasted and done the will of God, hello, after you've had this done. You understand? See, a lot of people talk about, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. No. I'm not. Jesus didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. He said men ought to always pray and not to faint. One of the first signs that you're fainting is your prayer life faint. How many? I'm talking about true revival. You want to know why most people faint? Because the adversity and the challenge and the life situation gets overwhelming because you're looking at it. And the first thing the enemy wants to cut off is your prayer life. Put it another way, your divine connection. Because you cannot be strengthened with might by his power in your inner man if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're up under divine, when you're up under satanic attack, you do not want to pray.
You want somebody else to pray for you.
Yes, sir.
But you got to be like David. Turn that plate over.
Yes.
Put yourself in sackcloth and ash. Yes. Get before God.
Yes,
now I'm about to make a revival statement.
Yes,
let me tell you something about revivals. In true revival, you do not, I got you, you do not quit until you get exactly what you want.
Come on. Uh-huh. Come on.
There's no other options. There's no other way. When you go to God, you see this younger generation. Do y'all? Let me tell y'all something about fasting and prayer and this wave of revival. We have to come to the point where we ain't leaving till we got the answer.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why I do this, but you got to listen to me. You do not listen. There got to come a point in your life where you're going to pray a thing and see it through. Y'all want to know what that means? That don't mean 15 minutes. That might not mean a half an hour. That means you're going to stay there and you're not getting up until you got what you went to God for. That's when you're really serious. See, we like to read over things and think it's microwave.
Yes,
you got to know some things now.
Yes, sir.
You got to know you got it before you see it.
Yes,
and you only know you have it when you receive it, watch this, in prayer.
Yep. Yes,
the only things we live from is the things that God revealed to us.
Yes, sir.
In prayer. The job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us in prayer the things that God hath already prepared for us.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's where true revival comes in. Seeking God. Revival is about seeking God, pressing into God, pursuing God with everything that's in us. I want to be connected to God and His purpose and His will. I don't want to do my thing. I won't do His thing. I don't want people looking at me. I want them to see Him in me. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Read chapter 1. We're going to try to get a little further the next time we gather.